On January 21st, 2011, the Center for Christian Studies welcomed Patrick Woodbeck as guest speaker at our regular lunchtime lecture series. Patrick is the staff person of Winnipeg Presbytery's Rainbow Ministry. His topic for the Mindful Munching event was the It Gets Better project and its implications for the church. It Gets Better is a project designed to combat the feelings of hopelessness and despair afflicting young people who experience bullying as a result of their sexual orientation or their perceived sexual orientation. Patrick's presentation prompted thoughtful comments and discussion. You won't hear that larger discussion on this podcast, but you will hear Patrick, and you'll hear the audio of one of the video clips featured on the It Gets Better website, which can be found on the internet at itgetsbetter.org.
I thought that it would be a good idea to start with introductions. As she said, my name is Patrick Woodbeck. I am a candidate for ordained ministry in the United Church of Canada and was appointed to the Rainbow Ministry position in May of 2010. And so that's who I am. And you'll find out a little more about my background and how I came to be where I am as we go through this. I thought that, or what I would had hoped, is that I will do a little bit of talking background, a little bit of a personal story about who I am and my experiences, a little bit of information about the It Gets Better campaign, and then some conversation around that campaign and how I view the campaign and how others view the campaign and what kind of a response can we as people of faith formulate to that campaign. So that's what I'm hoping to have this afternoon at lunch. So I want to thank everyone for coming as well. So It Gets Better is a campaign that was started this fall, actually this past fall, by a gentleman by the name of Dan Savage, who's a syndicated columnist in Seattle. He actually does a sex column, and his partner Terry, in response to minimum of 12 suicides of youth in the United States due to bullying, either because of their sexuality or their perceived sexuality. And Dan and Terry's idea was that this campaign was a way to let youth know that life does change and it does get better. And so I thought we would start by watching their video. It's a few minutes, 8 minutes long, and I thought it would be a good idea to start. I don't know if everyone has seen it or has any. Okay, so let's. I don't know.
High school was bad. I was Catholic, went to Catholic high schools, Catholic boys' school. My dad was a Catholic deacon, my mom was a Catholic lay minister, and my family was very Catholic. And there were no gay people in my family and no openly gay people at my school, but I was picked on because, you know, I liked musicals and I was obviously gay, and some kids didn't like that, and I did get harassed.
My school was pretty miserable. I lived in Spokane, Washington, which is a mid-sized town with a small town mentality. And I was picked on mercilessly in school. People were really cruel to me. I was bullied a lot, beat up, thrown against walls and lockers and windows, you know, stuffed into bathroom stalls. People shit on my car, people scratched my car, broke my windows. And my parents went in once to talk to the school administrators about the harassment I was getting at school, and they basically said, if you look that way, talk that way, walk that way, act that way, then there's nothing we can do to help your son. Honestly, things got better the day I left high school. I didn't see the bullies every day. I didn't see the people who harassed me every day. I didn't have to see the school administrators who would do nothing about it every day. Life instantly got better.
If there are 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds out there watching this video, what I'd love you to take away from it really is that it gets better. However bad it is now, it gets better. And it can get great, and it can get awesome. Your life can be amazing, but you have to tough this period of it out, and you have to live your life so that you're around for it to get amazing, and it can, and it will. When I first came out to my folks, they weren't thrilled. My mother said she never wanted to meet any of my boyfriends, or boyfriend, and I was never to bring a man around that I was dating to the house, ever. And my mother recently passed away, and she told me to let Terry know that she loved him like a daughter. And she did love you like you were my spouse, and you were
welcome in
the house, and our families are really accepting. And you would think, you know, my evangelical Catholic parents and Terry's conservative Christian parents who sent him to that awful school, that our families would reject us forever and never get over it, and wouldn't embrace us. And both of our families, Terry's family, his mom, his stepdad, and my family, love us and accept us and include us.
We're treated with the love and respect that we deserve as members of the family, and it's great. We have great families. We met out in a bar. I was out dancing, and
I was out staring at cute boys dancing, because I don't dance.
And I came up to talk to a friend of mine who was in drag, working the coat check, and Dan was there. And
I had been saying to who is also a mutual friend of mine, we didn't know we have this friend in common, I'd been saying to the drag queen, oh my god, look at that cute boy, look at that guy, he's so gorgeous. And then Terry walks up to the coat check, and the drag queen says, tell him, don't tell me again, tell him, he's standing right in front of you, tell him. And what did I say to you?
You said.
Tell him.
He said, you've got a really beautiful mouth.
I think it was more deliverance. I said, you have a pretty mouth.
Yeah, okay.
And so then what did you say to me?
I said,
which is even cheesier.
I'm sorry, this is so cheesy. I said, the better to eat you with.
It was love at first innuendo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, roll your eyes all you like. It was a pickup line that worked, right? Here we are, 16 years later,
it worked. One of the greatest things that's happened to us since we left high school and meeting each other is we adopted our son, DJ, who is an amazing kid. He's smart and witty and ironic and sardonic, and he's a great little athlete. He's a snowboarder and skateboarder, and he's really talented.
We adopted DJ at birth. It was an open adoption, so we met his mom before she gave birth, and we still know his mom. And it's really been the last 12, almost 13 years now. DJ's going to be 13 in March. It's been great. I didn't think when I came out to my parents in the very early 1980s when AIDS was slamming into the gay community that I would ever be a dad, that I would ever give my mom and dad another grandchild or make uncles of my brothers and an aunt of my sister. I remember going to Paris as a family the first time, the three of us, and DJ, our son, couldn't sleep because he had jet lag, and Terry was exhausted and wanted to sleep, and we kept trying to get DJ to go to bed, and eventually I just figured I'll let Terry sleep. It's either all three of us don't sleep or one of us gets to sleep. So I went out at 4 o'clock in the morning and strolled through the streets of Paris with DJ as the sun came up, and we talked. He was, I think, 4 years old. And we just chatted, and we strolled around Notre Dame and the Marais, and the bakery's open. And we went to the back door of a bakery and ordered some croissants with sugar crystals on them and got some juice, and we sat and watched the sun come up with the Eiffel Tower off in the distance. And it's one of my happiest memories as a parent, as a human.
Some of my best memories include Dan and DJ just being on the top of mountains. Complete bluebird, sunny day, and nothing but fresh powder below us, and all three of us can hit
plow
double black diamonds down together through avalanche country.
Yeah, and if you had told my musical theater queen 14-year-old self that one day I'd be doing double black diamond runs on a snowboard, I would not have believed you.
Those moments make it so worth sticking out the bullying and the pain and the despair of high school. And if you can just do that, you have moments like that and so many more ahead of you.
And they come when you least expect them. I thought I'd be asleep, not walking around Paris that night. And they come at you all the time. And if you, at, you know, the worst time of your life, really, for many gay kids is high school. And if at that time of your life you choose to end your life, you know, the bullies really won then, and you've deprived yourself of so much potential happiness. If my adult self could talk to my 14-year-old self and tell him anything, I would tell him to really believe the lyrics to Somewhere from West Side Story. There really is a place for us, and there really is a place for you, and one day you will have friends who love and support you, you will find love, you will find a community, and that life gets better, and that the bigots don't win. The people who were picking on me then are completely irrelevant. I don't know where they are now. I don't know if they're happy. I assume that they're miserable, because miserable people like to make other people miserable. And once I got out of high school, they couldn't touch me anymore.
If I could say anything to any middle school or high schooler watching this who is having troubles in school with bullies, questioning their sexuality, or just questioning the way they look or act, I would say this. Living well is the best revenge. And if you can live through high school, which you can totally live through high school, you're going to have a great life. And it's going to be the envy of all those people that picked on you while you were in high school or middle school. So just stick it out. It's painful now, but it's going to get so much better.
Yeah, we're very happy to be alive.
Yes, we're ecstatic to be alive. And, you know, life has its ups and downs. It has its challenges. There are tough moments.
You still got to work. You still got to pay bills. But in between all of that, it's really, we have really great lives together.
And you can have a great life, too.
So that started the It Gets Better campaign, which then snowballed with many, many people posting videos on YouTube, including Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Ellen DeGeneres, and many others, and led to a Canadian version of It Gets Better with, which shocked me, Rick Mercer, who I would never have known was gay, and many other people who have come out in solidarity with the youth of today, telling them that it gets better, that high school and late elementary school, junior high is a really tough time for students, really tough time for any child, for any youth, but it does get better. I wanted to share a personal story, well, a few, actually, a couple. I grew up in a Catholic family, the youngest of three, in a very small town of 1,500 people. And I was a very small child to begin with, but very active, always going nonstop. And my mother finally said, you need to do something. You need to be involved in something that's going to channel your energy. Had no desire, no interest in hockey, so I started figure skating. And I was the only boy figure skating in that town at that time. And I remember that I had a friend in early elementary school, grade 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I sometimes wonder if he had stayed in that town, if my life would have turned out differently. We were very close. It turns out that I ran into him 20-some years later, and he is gay. And we were inseparable until he left. And the year after he left, I was all alone, and that's when I started to be bullied. Every day at recess, I dreaded going out, because there was a few people that were larger than I was, older than I was, and they would every day bully me at recess. And I was too ashamed and too afraid to go to the teachers and the principal. I was too afraid and ashamed to talk to my parents. And so it continued for months and months. And finally, one of my older brothers stepped in and physically got into an altercation with one of the other young men. And when I came home that day, I had to explain why I was the one that was being bullied and why he was the one standing up for me. And I didn't know why I was being bullied, other than the fact that I was different. That, I wouldn't say forced me, but it made me rethink who I was, and I made a decision that I couldn't be anything other than heterosexual male. And so that's how I tried to live my life. And that's how I tried to live my high school years. And it's difficult when you're figure skating and you and I love being on the ice. It was my place of freedom, my place to forget all of the words that I would hear walking down the hallway in high school. You know, queer, gay, you know, faggot, which happened all the time. I would get on the ice and I would forget all of that. And I think that I was very lucky because I found something that I loved so much that all of those times were irrelevant, because I just waited till I got on the ice and I got into my skates, got on the ice, and the freedom and the joy. Then proceeded into university, first year university, and continued to try and live my life as heterosexual male, but was never comfortable with the men, never comfortable with the other young men that were living in residence. I was always on the girl side of the residence. I was friends with all the girls, and that's who I associated with. That's where I spent my time. And I remember after a social, there was one of the so-called jocks on our floor, had a little bit too much to drink, and I made a comment to him. And he immediately turned on me and said, "You have challenged who I am all year. You challenge me every day." And he grabbed me by the throat and he almost rammed my head through a door. And I was just being who I am. And he felt that I was challenging his masculinity. We had a conversation a few months later. And he said, "Well, you know, you're always with the girls and you're looking at me this way and you're looking at me." And I'm like, "I don't look at you anyway." "Yes, you do." And that was something that was very, very difficult for him. He couldn't handle that. And so it ended up being a physical response against me. So bullying happens to all kinds of people and in all kinds of ways. And some people, you know, say that, you know, the gay and lesbian community is a whole lot further ahead now than what we were. And that's true. We are accepted in so many places where we weren't accepted before. But if you look, there's still homophobia out there. There's still that fear of the gay and lesbian community. And there is still bullying. I don't know if anyone has followed the news reports that's just happened with the marriage commissioners in Saskatchewan. Okay? Being told that they will be required to marry same-sex couples if they are requested to. And on the cbc.ca website, there was a lot of comments condemning that decision, saying that gay and lesbian people have no right to be married. If a marriage commissioner says it's against his faith to marry someone of the same sex, they should not be forced to do it. And it's interesting to read those comments because it shows that there's still a lot of feelings around that. I personally don't feel comfortable walking down Portage Avenue holding my partner's hand. That is something that I would never do, because I would be afraid that at any minute we could be subject to physical violence. I would never give my partner a kiss in public right now. And so my first question is, it gets better. Does it get better? And when does it get better? I like what they said in their video in talking about their life together and their 16 years and how once they got out of high school, they no longer had to see those same bullies. And sometimes it just turns into a different group of bullies. But it also gives you the freedom to make connections with people, and it gives you a different opportunity to make family with other groups of people and to make community with other groups of people. When we're in high school, most of us in high school, unless you moved around a lot, we're with the same group of people for a long time, right? Yeah. How many people went to the same high school all the way through high school? So chances are you did see the same group of people every year, every day, in and out. I went to the same, I was in the same town from kindergarten to grade 12, and so I had the same group of people all the way from kindergarten through to grade 12. And it's very difficult in that situation. You don't necessarily, it's hard to move from one group of friends to another. But once you get out of high school, a lot of that falls away, and you're into a position and into a place where you can find new groups of people, new groups of friends, and new groups of support and new ways to support yourself, who you are. But I guess the question that I have is it right for us to be telling youth that it gets better? Once you leave high school, it gets better. Because does it? We still deal with homophobia. We still deal with marginalization. And if we can't tell people, youth, that it gets better, what can we tell them? Definitely, for some people, it does get better. In my case, like even just moving, like although I had a bad experience at university, once I left university, moving out of that small town with that very small town mentality, where everyone has to fit into this specific stereotype of who you are supposed to be, to a place where there's more diversity, there is more acceptance, there's more, you're allowed to be a little different than everyone else, and that's okay. And I think that's true. I think for a lot of youth, getting out of high school and coming to a place where they're allowed to be that, I think is huge for a lot of kids. And then, you know, one of the suicides, one of the last suicides this fall was a young man who was in college, and his roommate set up the webcam to cam him having an intimate encounter with another man, and was going to broadcast it. So he ended up throwing himself off a bridge. And so it does get better for some people, but for some people it doesn't. And my questions are around those people that it doesn't get better for. How do we, as a faith tradition, or as people of faith, support them? And is there a way that we can say to youth now, today, it'll get better, but we are here with you now during the time when it is not better? Can we, as people of faith, find a way to support those youth that are being bullied now? And not just by saying, you know, here's a lot of resources. Here's resources for you to go and find. Here's resources for you to take advantage of. Is there a way that we, as people of faith, can say, we will journey with you now? And how do we do that? It's very important to be open to listening and to hearing. The paper that I handed out was actually a survey that was in the paper, the Free Press, in August, and it's a national climate survey on homophobia in Canadian schools. And this was done by two researchers in Winnipeg, and one of the points that they make is that many LGBTQ students would not be comfortable talking to their teachers. That's 4 in 10. Their principal, 6 in 10. Or their coach, 7 in 10. Only 1 in 5 students could talk to their parents very comfortably about issues. And so that's right. So I think it's very important to be open. But how, then, do we say that we are open to hearing? How do we say that we are here and we are ready, willing, and able to listen and to support? It's much like some of the affirming ministries in Winnipeg. You know, we have Emmanuel, Young, Augustine, Rainbow Ministry, and Center for Christian Studies are affirming ministries. And for people within the church, that's great, but how do we let people that are not in the church know that we are welcoming, that we are affirming, and that they are welcome into the full life and work of the church? How do we let youth know who are not comfortable talking to their parents that we are here and able and willing to be there for them? And those are the questions that I have. The new creed of the United Church begins with, we are not alone, we live in God's world. And those words struck me in thinking about this issue. Because if we can tell those youth that are being bullied, they are not alone. They live in God's world. If we can get that to them, that they are not alone, can you imagine the hope that that would engender in those youth? Could you imagine the hope that that would give even one youth if they knew that during this time of their life, when they are being bullied every day, whether it's physical, whether it's verbal, that they are not alone? And they have not been alone. Although they feel like they're alone, they are not. They have never been alone. There are people that are willing to stand up and say that bullying is wrong, bullying should not happen for any reason, and that we support the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, two-spirited, queer youth in the world today, and that's something that we will announce that we believe in, and we will announce that we are standing with them in solidarity. How do we do that? I do a Meet the Minister once a month at Rainbow Resource Center. And the very first time I did this, which was November of this year, and it's something that we've just restarted, Rainbow Ministry, I was sitting there alone because nobody came in. So I wandered downstairs into the basement and Peer Project for Youth. And it was amazing the response that I got from those youth. Six or seven youth that I had never met before. I go down and I introduce myself, who I was. One happened to be United Church youth. The rest were not. And had a large conversation, like a very intense conversation around It Gets Better, around their thoughts on the program. Like, what did they, how did they feel? And very much similar thoughts, that there's a lot that they can do to make things better for themselves. There's a lot that would be better if they knew that people were supporting them. And it's amazing the openness of youth when people come and say, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, and, you know, they had no idea that Rainbow Ministry even existed, and they said, you know, a church that says it's okay to be gay? And I'm like, well, I am, so I'm hoping it's okay. And one of the girls said, you know, she said, I'm terrified to tell my dad that I have a girlfriend because my biggest fear is that he will reject me, that he will say, I want nothing to do with you. And she said, so I can't tell him. And she said, I feel really bad. Yeah, and there's a lot of youth that aren't accepted at home. And so, you know, they find that acceptance other places. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, these youth are copping out when they commit suicide, and it's a way to escape it. And it's not so much a way to escape what's happening on a daily basis, but there was a story that I read of a young gentleman. He was 13, and he went with his father to a town council meeting because the town was trying to decide whether or not they were going to have a Gay and Lesbian Recognition Day. So he went, his parents knew he was gay, and he went with his dad, and he sat there and he listened to person after person after person get up and speak against who he was. And it wasn't youth, it was adults. And the next day, he killed himself. And he left a note saying that there was no way that he could continue to live in a world that hated him for who he was. And that's sad. I think, you know, the United Church, and I'm going to talk about United Church because that's what I know, we do so much in the way of social justice and standing and human rights and standing with those who are marginalized. But we don't do it in the public eye. And I wonder if maybe we need to start. We're the first affirming conference in Canada, Conference of Manitoba and Northwestern Ontario. We have a number of affirming ministries. Has there been a public response to all of this from any of those organizations or groups? And what kind of response can we formulate so that those youth do not feel alone? regardless of whether or not they take us up on the offer of being there to listen or being there to journey with them, just the fact of knowing that there is groups of people that are willing to stand up and publicly say, we are with you, and we support you, and we celebrate you for who you are. How do we do that? Like when I went down to the youth that were in the basement of the Rainbow Resource Center, I mean, obviously it's a place that's welcoming and safe for them. But I introduced myself, and you know, it's a matter of talking about acceptance, and I find it's very important that you indicate that you're accepting. And you don't have to come out and say, you know, it's okay if you're gay. But, you know, you talk about that, you know, we are all accepted for who we are. Because, I mean, I think if you come out, I mean, I don't know, I would think that if someone came out to me, or if someone came to me when I was a youth and I was really struggling with who I was and I was trying to hide who I was and they said, you know, it's okay if you're gay, I would have been like at the very back of the closet then, because that would have scared me to death. But if someone came out and said, you know what, being a youth in your teen years is something, it's a time of where you're, there's so much going on for you, there's so many questions that you have about who you are and where you're going in life, and all of those questions are okay. And all of those questions can be asked. And if you need to ask those questions in a place that you're not going to be judged, that you're not going to be told that it's those questions aren't okay, then this is where that place is. I don't know if you're ever going to get rid of bullies. I think bullies have always existed, and they always will. And high school is particularly a time that's really bad for bullying, for bullies. As an adult, someone bullies me, I walk away and ignore them. But, you know, youth are not quite there yet. And so, do we stand up with them? You know, the fact that the Conference of Manitoba and Northwestern Ontario has, you know, voted to become an affirming conference. I mean, the fact that Rainbow Ministry exists gives me hope. And that there can be a way for maybe Rainbow Ministry, as part of its ministry, to take a lead on something like this in the church. To say that this is not all right. That bullying is not all right. And that Rainbow Ministry, you know, stands in solidarity. And then whoever wants to stand with us can stand with us. Affirm United of the United Church, their conference this summer is dealing with bullying. In the midst of all of this, of all of the hurt and pain that these youth are dealing with on a daily basis, there are people and there are places that are working and trying to say, we're with you. And so, in everything, there's hope. And yeah, we have a lot of work to do and we have a long way to go as a faith to be truly open and accepting of all. But, as you say, it started. And so once you've started, I mean, it's really hard to start taking things back. And so in everything that's happened in all of these suicides, And even the suicides themselves have kind of put the spotlight on this issue that has been going on for so many years. Because a year ago, we would never have had this conversation without this It Gets Better campaign. We were having a conversation earlier and it's, you know, about how people are set in their ways and the church has been the church for how long. And I got married last May. And as I said, my parents are very Roman Catholic. My father's a deacon, and my mother has been involved in the church. And I didn't realize that when a man goes to become a deacon in the Catholic Church, the woman or the wife has to go along and go through everything with him. It is, they go as a couple. He's the deacon, but she has to go through, and she has to agree to him being ordained as a deacon. So they're very involved in the church. When we decided to get married, that was an issue. They would not call it a wedding. They would not call it a marriage. They would call it a commitment. There was question as to whether or not they were even going to be there. They wanted to see the invitations beforehand because they wanted to make sure that they didn't say anything that would be, you know, offensive or that would bother them, which was fine. So we did that. They were there when we got married. And this past October, which was 6 months, almost just under 6 months since we got married, I was carving turkeys at their fall supper at their Catholic church, and my mother was sitting in the sanctuary with my partner, and she introduced him as her son-in-law to two people in her church. And so in those 4 or 5 months, the shift in attitude and the shift in direction was amazing. And so I believe that anything can happen. So it's just, you know, we need to continue to have conversations and to try and think of ways that we can make those changes. And I think that's what's important, to not forget. I mean, we talk about gay and lesbian issues, but I think transgender issues are a whole other set of issues that I don't think the church has even considered or started to consider what that looks like for us as a church. And so, as I say, there's work to be done, but what gives me hope is that there are ways and places that the work can be done. I mean, there's resources and there's as you say, there's little things happening, and I just, you know, hope that all of these little things that are going on and constantly are happening will continue and snowball and really, you know, make a change and show youth that there are places where they're welcome, there are places that support them, and that it's okay to be who you are. Because I think that is the most important thing that anybody needs to know, regardless of who they are, is that it is okay to be who you are. And I think we forget that. I think, you know, even as a parent, I forget to tell my sons that, you know what, it's okay to be who you are.
That seems so, like a you. Good point to wind up our session for today. Thank you, Patrick, for coming and offering us both information and challenge as we figure out how we can help the world to be a better place and a place that where it does get better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Teens who are being bullied. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.